You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we're just a week away from the election, and candidates are making their final campaign stops in swing states like Wisconsin. We'll see what impact these visits might have on voters.
First, according to news released last night, Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly was offered a $20 million contract to stay at the network. This follows a heated election cycle during which Kelly and Republican nominee Donald Trump had a highly publicized feud.
Here's Megyn Kelly asking Trump a question at a GOP primary debate about words he's used to describe women in the past.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only Rosie O'Donnell.
When Trump was questioned about Megyn Kelly, his comments sparked controversy.
Gets out and she starts asking me all sorts of ridiculous questions, and you know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
Weeks later, Trump took to Twitter and tweeted that the news anchor was a lightweight and later boycotted the final GOP debate that she was set to moderate on Fox News. The recent controversy has cast a new light on Megyn Kelly.
Joining us now is Emily Jane Fox, staff writer for Vanity Fair. She wrote an article called How Megyn Kelly Became an Improbable Feminist Icon. Emily, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, around the time you're writing this, I imagine, last week we saw this interview that Megyn Kelly did with former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Here's a listen. Gingrich criticizes Kelly's coverage of Republican nominee Donald Trump after allegations of sexual assault surfaced against him.
You want to go back through the tapes of your show recently? You are fascinated with sex and you don't care about public policy.
Me?
Now, that's
really
what I get out of watching you tonight.
You know what? Mr. Speaker, I'm not fascinated by sex, but I am fascinated by the protection of women and understanding what we're getting in the Oval Office. And I think the American voters would like
and
to know.
And therefore, we're going to send Bill Clinton back to the East Wing because, after all, you are worried about sexual predators.
Yeah, listen, it's not about me. It's about the women and men of America. And the poll numbers show us that the women of America in particular are very concerned about these allegations and in large part believe that they are a real issue. And
you want to comment, on whether the
summarily.
And so it goes. So you wrote about, Emily, this role of Megyn Kelly in this election. We've heard her with Donald Trump. We've heard her now with Newt Gingrich, an unlikely feminist icon, improbable feminist icon. Talk about that.
Sure. So, you know, this is supposed to be a historic election year for women. We have our first major party nominee as a woman for the first time. And probably it's Megyn Kelly who has kind of come out as the woman who's standing up for other women. We saw time and time again with Donald Trump, starting last August with the first GOP primary debate. She had stood up against his attacks and the attacks from his supporters for almost 6 months until they sat down face-to-face in prime time last spring. We saw it this summer again with the allegations against Fox News, former Fox News chief Roger Ailes, when Megyn reportedly cooperated with the investigation into those allegations and reportedly also supported other women she worked with coming forward. And then we saw it throughout the last couple of months. Newt Gingrich was the most recent example, but a number of people have come on her show in September and early October, including Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway, defending the comments that we heard Trump say about women on the Access Hollywood tapes. And Megyn has rightly said, you know, these are important things to the American people. You can't possibly defend these comments. You can't possibly say that Donald Trump is not sexist when these kinds of comments are caught on tape. He has repeatedly been caught saying them. So Megyn has really been a champion for women in an election when you wouldn't think that she would necessarily be the champion.
Yeah, why her? Why has she ended up in this role, do you think?
Well, I think some of it is timing. I don't think that she ever could have imagined that she would have asked a question that launched such a big feud at the first debate. I think she was asking a tough question, and it kind of launched into this whole media spectacle, and mostly because Donald Trump turned it into one. But I think she didn't predict that this would be her role in the election. She certainly didn't predict what happened this summer with Roger Ailes. And I think once she got started and once the seal was broken on that, it became easier for her to talk about, look, it's difficult for a woman to stand up for other women. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. And so she got started last summer with Donald Trump she continued that this summer with Roger Ailes. And now she's kind of found her voice on the issue and realized that it works and she gets good attention from it. She probably feels good doing it as well. So I think she's kind of gotten on a roll with it and has kept going with it.
And you and others have written that there are people who are generally not friendly with Fox News, people from the liberal side of the political spectrum, pro-Democrats, who, even though Megyn Kelly in some ways does fit into what they think of Fox News, they admire her for some of what she's been doing, in this, especially in this election campaign.
I would admire her even if she were, on an alt-right website or an alt-left website. I think what she's doing for women is very admirable, regardless of where she comes from. Anyone who's willing to stick their neck out for other women who have been assaulted or harassed or bullied, I think it's an amazing thing. And to watch a news person stop the news cycle and say, hey, wait a minute, you can't just get away with saying that about women, or you can't defend that kind of behavior. That's what all news people should do. That's our responsibility as journalists, and I think she's doing a very good job.
Now, this has been a particularly unusual year, I think, when it comes to this talk about how we talk about women in a political campaign. But do you think that things like this probably have been swept under the rug, ignored, downplayed in years past?
Yes. This is an extraordinary election because, one, we have our first female presidential candidate, and two, her opponent has been caught saying some pretty horrible things about women. And so it not necessarily been swept under the rug in past elections, but it hasn't been thrown in our faces either. It's pretty hard to ignore during this election season. I think we didn't have kind of rhetoric in elections past because the candidates didn't speak this way, at least not on camera or microphone.
Talking to Emily Jane Fox from Vanity Fair, talking about Megyn Kelly from Fox News, the role she's played in this election, and how she's impacted the conversation about women in our political system. As you mentioned, this is all coming amidst this big sexual harassment investigation at Fox News. Roger Ailes out there now. Is it weird that that the person who we're talking about as this person standing up for women came out of this setting that, at least by a lot of reports, is very hostile toward women, toward female employees there?
Well, these are all allegations. I'll say that off the bat. I think this is very true in many workplaces across the country, certainly in news, but in many industries, especially, you know, Fox News is a very appearance-driven network, as many cable networks tend to be. It's not shocking that that was the culture, but these people, these women have brains and feelings regardless of where they are, and I'm sure that many people across the country feel exactly the way Megyn feels, but many people don't have a primetime television show to express these views, and I think that's what gives her such power in this situation. She's able to say in a very public, very watched way what many women across the country and across the world are feeling, and that is what has been so tremendous to watch throughout the whole election cycle.
Unfortunately, a very common theme lately in our culture is when a woman in any forum speaks out, especially on issues related to women, there tends to be a very strong backlash. We see campaigns of internet harassment targeting people, women who speak up about diversity in gaming, just to say one example. Right. Have we seen a similar backlash outside of Donald Trump himself to Megyn Kelly and what she's done?
I'm not an expert on this. I think especially after the primary debate that sparked the whole feud between Kelly and Trump, there was a lot of Twitter harassment that came Megyn's way. I remember Trump himself retweeting people calling her bimbos, and he even called her a lightweight on Twitter. I'm sure she got a fair share of harassment online. Has that continued with Newt? Probably, but I think she's gotten a ton of good wishes and press on the other side as well. So I'm sure it has come with a lot of good and a lot of bad on both ends of the spectrum.
When it comes to women in politics and front and center on the political stage, do you feel a sense of one step forward, one step back, or two steps back, given a lot of the reactions we've been seeing this election season?
I feel like there should be a great leap forward in this election. By all accounts, we could end up with our first female president next week, and that's a tremendous thing. That's regardless of whether or not you support her, that's a very cool moment in history to think about, and I think that's gotten sadly lost in all of this craziness of this election season. I think the saddest thing about this whole election for me is there are a lot of very accomplished women who are getting chances that they've never gotten before. You have Hillary Clinton, who's the first, you know, female nominee. You have Kellyanne Conway, who's a campaign manager. You have Ivanka Trump, who's been out there, who has a very successful career and has been the most successful surrogate for her father. You have Megyn Kelly, who's really having this moment. You have Huma Abedin, who's a very top aide to Hillary Clinton. And all of these women have been forced to answer for men behaving badly at some point or another throughout this campaign. And so while they should be experiencing this glory moment and relishing in their own success and being lavish with praise for all the things they've managed to accomplish, instead, they're kind of taking on the criticism for behavior that was not their own, and instead behavior of their father or their boss or their husband or their friend. And it's just a shame for me to watch.
As we wrap up, Emily, what do you see next? What do you hope for next from Megyn Kelly herself?
Well, I think Megyn is in a tremendous position. I think she is clearly being courted by Fox and perhaps some other networks. And I think she has, I know she has a book coming out next week as well called Settle for More. And I think that Megyn will settle for nothing less than what she deserves.
We'll leave it there. Emily, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Emily Jane Fox. She's a staff writer for Vanity Fair. We've been talking about her piece, How Megyn Kelly Became an Improbable Feminist Icon.
Coming up, we're only a week away from the general election, and candidates are campaigning hard in battleground states, states like Wisconsin. We'll learn about how effective these stops are with voters. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.